You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 123.
123, John. I just want to double check, make sure that we are recording.
No, we didn't.
It's been 2 weeks since we've done this. Just want to make sure everything's okay.
No, we're good. Those were rehearsals.
We're all good to
go. Rehearsal starts.
Now, John, last Sunday, we were supposed to do a podcast, and you got called away to Canada.
Yeah.
You had to fly out to Canada, but you did not hook up with the word whore from Air Out My Shorts. You came back.
You know,
and
I could have.
We're going to do something on Wednesday night, and you go and get sick.
Yeah.
You get a fever. So we couldn't do that.
Very feverish.
And it's a good thing.
I'm still a little sick.
That we couldn't, because I was all set. Mediocre Show does their show on Wednesday night. I was all set to call into their show on our show.
Yeah.
And rip them a new asshole. Because we still, at that time, had not gotten
our hoodies.
But the hoodies have arrived, John.
But
I'm wearing mine. Are you wearing yours?
No, it's very hot.
We've taken photographs. We'll get those out on the interwebs.
My son with his great
Your
Ansel
son
Adams.
Took those photos. And then he made a startling observation about the clock on the wall.
What did he say?
Is this automatic?
It's automatic? It works? What do you mean, Nate? What do you mean? Well, it works when you take it off the wall. He was amazed at the technology these days.
So you were sick on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm still.
So we didn't do a show. We didn't call in.
No.
Good thing is Mediocre didn't even have a show because they pre-recorded on Monday because Vomitous Bill from the great state of Illinois. In the Quad Cities, went out to hook up with the Mediocre Show, and he spent a week with those guys eating food and getting drunk. So they had him on the show, and it was like an hour and a half pre-recorded thing.
Wow.
So they weren't even on Wednesday night.
I wonder, maybe we should go. Does anybody vacation in Philadelphia?
I don't know. Why not? It's got a lot of history.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're right. And isn't that what they call it now? Killadelphia?
Killadelphia?
People are getting killed there.
I don't know. Isn't it the AIDS capital of the world? This is Tom Hanks did that movie, right?
Oh, right. Does that make it the AIDS capital of the world?
Well, it was about AIDS, so I was assuming that it's...
That's where it started?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
That's where the first guy had sex with a monkey. Isn't that how the story goes?
No, that's God punishing you.
Oh, punishing me?
Yeah. No, not just you, but...
So, John, you got over your fever, and now your wife's up in bed with the 102,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
My whole family had it. I have not had it. So we'll see how the next... You know, I'll probably come down with it next Saturday.
You better not, man.
Because you know why, John? Next Saturday, March 22nd, is the gig at the Beacon Tap in Des Plaines.
The big gig.
I saw that Errol Wilf posted on our MySpace page.
Errol Wilf, yeah.
Hoping to get to one of our gigs. And he has an opportunity over Easter weekend to drive down.
We might need your help, Errol Wilf. We might need a bass player.
Why is that?
If this one dies on us.
Oh, forget
that.
You're
coming into a house that's full of nasty germs, dude.
I just left a house with nasty germs.
Yeah, but over here, it's not the same germ. It's a mutated monkey virus.
I wonder if they showed up in these mediocre hoodies.
I'll tell you, though, that it hits you hard, man. It hits hard. It comes in.
Hard.
And it smacks you down. And, You're down for a good 2 days, and I didn't finally feel somewhat decent till this morning. And I think because went into my sinuses, and that, for me, that's no good, you know. It's enough. It's hard enough for me to bend over and tie my shoes, you know. But to have, like, a sinus infection and then do that and all the pressure, just it feels like my face is just going to explode outward. Eyeballs and all.
Like where you want to drill a hole into your cheek?
I really want
to relieve the pressure.
On both sides under my eyes.
Yeah. I've had that.
Or take a chisel or something, you know, a screwdriver, and just start hammering up my nostril. Into my
Blaine. All right, so if a gig next Saturday, Beacon Tap, go to our homepage, and there you can find a link to our band page and get the dates, times, and the whole deal.
The dates.
And we also have two gigs scheduled for Arlington Park, one during the day and one in the evening. Stephen C. is going to try to make it in for one of those there, Johnny. Also,
nice.
Paulie B was just in the States, but he was out in L.A., and he's back in the U.K.
I saw that, yeah.
Also,
I wonder if he was doing any gigs. I read a little bit about it, but did he say anything on the show?
No, I haven't listened in, I don't know, 6 months?
Oh, my God. That's nice.
What, don't you listen?
Oh, all the time, man.
So you didn't say anything on the show then?
I didn't listen to the last one.
Oh, you didn't. Maybe the last one he mentioned something is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Now, the forum there, John. Andrew is absent from the forum. I'm hoping everything is okay there.
Uh-oh.
It's one of the big forum post producers, and he's just gone missing. But the other thing on the forum, and I hope I got this right because I didn't write it down. But I think Uno Chato. Is that how you say it, John? Uno Chato.
Yeah, something like that.
We were talking about Born Again Atheists, and he came up with a T-shirt.
Yeah.
For the Born Again Atheist T-shirt. And I think we should get a movement together. And I did start working on, I don't want to call them commandments, right? They're not commandments.
Right.
We got to come up with some other term. But 10 general rules for being a Born Again Atheist. Now, you can be an atheist. That's okay. And you can, when people ask you questions, you can say, yeah, I don't believe in God. Fuck off. And that's fine.
Why don't you call them general statements?
Okay. General statements. GSs, man.
The GS. The 10 GSs of atheism.
But I want to differentiate between atheists and born-again atheists.
But we got to agree on them because...
Right. We got to agree on them. Well, I only have three of them, but I think you would agree with these. So I can hold these off for another show until we round out all 10 of them.
Right.
But we need to differentiate between atheist and a born-again atheist. An atheist doesn't believe in God and doesn't really want to talk to anybody about it.
Right.
He's got his beliefs, he or she, and fuck all he is. I'm not talking. But a born-again atheist relishes. Is that a word, relish? It's something you put on a hot dog.
Yeah.
The opportunity to exchange ideas with not only other atheists, but with church-going folk. So I have four general statements about what you need to do if you're a born-again atheist. So we got to round it out with six more. So we'll maybe next week we'll have that ready. And we'll start our born-again atheist movement. We're also looking into trademarking the phrase born-again atheist. It's all over the web, but here in the United States...
Yeah, why don't you just say that?
Here in the United States, John.
Why don't you say that worldwide so everybody will jump on it before we do?
It must have couldn't have got trademarked yet because it's not in the database.
Well, it could be a service mark.
What does that mean?
It means that it's got a trademark... at the state level.
Oh, right. I see.
And then...
Well, we're worldwide, John.
I know, and you just gave it up, so somebody else is going to do it.
We'll just go bonk. Bonk, bonk. Bonk again, bonk. Nobody will know what we're talking about.
You're marketing genius.
No doubt. Also, I worked out why... quantum mechanics and general relativity will never be unified. I'm still going over some of the equations, but it's very promising. It's very promising, John.
It's Fuzzy Mad. I can't wait.
It is Fuzzy Mad. Yeah. All right. I saw this. I don't know where I saw this, but these are the 50 gayest songs as voted by gay people. So when I looked at the list, I was like, boy, I wonder if we cover any of these songs, the 50 gayest songs. Guess how many of these songs we cover, John, out of the 50 gayest songs.
At least two.
Three.
Three?
Yes. We cover number 49, Dead or Alive, You Spin Me
Round
Like a Record. We cover number 15, Judy Garland, Over the Rainbow. And we cover number 3, Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. Now, I think we've practiced Culture Club, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? But I don't think we have ever done that one. So three of the top 50 gay songs you can come see next Saturday at the Beacon Tap. So, you know, we appeal to a broad section of the American audience.
Oh, no doubt. It's without a fact. Without a fact? Without a doubt. Here's one of them right here, baby.
Our version is much better. Hey, we practiced last. Did you pull any tunes from the last practice?
No.
Because I think we did cover this one.
Did we?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I didn't know we did. Sorry.
What do you mean you didn't know we did? What does that mean?
I didn't know we covered it.
You didn't know we played this song?
At practice.
Oh, yeah, we played it at practice. Did you record practice?
Yeah.
Did you pull any tracks from practice?
No.
Why not, man? What are we going to do if we have to take a break?
I can't do it. We're recording on the device that I...
I understand you can't do it now.
I don't know. I don't know. We got other stuff.
All right, good fortune favors the well-prepared, John.
Fuck you, man. Bend over. I got something well-prepared for your anus.
My tetanus. All right, John, turning to email. Did you have any comments about forum, MySpace? Oh, we got a new member of MySpace from Mansfield?
Yeah.
UK?
Yeah.
I forget her name, though.
Nice.
A girl. So that makes like, out of the 17 listeners we have, three of them are girls now, John. That is good news.
Good news.
Because we like the female perspective.
Yeah.
I have some emails. These are corrections. Actually, there were three of them, but I, you know, oversight on my part. I only brought two of them in. We got to do something about email. Should we put like a canned response together?
Why? What's why?
Because we get like what 200 emails a month. I don't respond to any of them.
Oh.
None of them. So
I try.
I'm starting to feel guilty about that.
Well, if it's a question, I respond. If it's just like blah 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 blah, general statement, you know.
If it's a question about forum permissions, I try to respond, but there were maybe three emails within the past week that I haven't responded to.
Yeah.
That were specific questions about forum security. I just, I feel that, you know, as the week starts and we get a couple of emails, yeah, I can cover some of these on the show.
Yeah.
And then I just, you know, we get more emails and then it becomes overwhelming.
Right.
And then do I go back and respond? No. I'm an ass is what it is. So I apologize to everybody who's emailed something and I haven't responded.
I'm an ass.
All right, but we did get these. Episode 121, Scott talked about Casablanca. And John said he was thinking of a different movie with Bogey and Katharine Hepburn. John said the movie was The Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Yeah.
Dopes. It was the African Queen.
Oh, yeah.
Keep up the great podcast.
Right. Right. That's what I meant to say.
yeah, you know who that was from. I didn't even
Who?
You know, I cut and paste, and I didn't put who it was from. So I'm really struggling with email, John. We have to
you
come
are,
up with a
man.
Better solution.
You are
then
struggling.
Then we got this other one. I think you guys said Naomi Klein when you meant to say Naomi Wolf in episode 123, and at least I cut out. That was from Evan. Then there was another email.
Helen. Helen's the name.
Helen.
Helen.
Oh, on MySpace.
MySpace.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Figured it out.
There was another one that I forgot to bring in, but it was my fuck up on libelous and slanderous. I think we were talking about Jerry Seinfeld, and they were suing him for libel, and that is incorrect.
Slander.
It's slander.
Libel's written.
Libel is written. Slander is spoken.
We learned that from Kevin.
That's right.
Kevin Burns.
Kevin Burns, the great Kevin Burns. Moved down to Texas. Do you have an email?
Yeah. I do. I have an email here from Jason.
Jason.
Yeah, from the Nobodies.
The Nobodies.
From Nobodies. Because he doesn't write the Nobodies. There's not the or the. It says, hey, John, this is Jason from Nobodies. I wanted to let you know I'm still listening and loving your show. Work and life have whittled my listening time down to about nothing, but I make sure there is time for TTN no matter what. That's out of sight, man.
That is out of sight. Is he going to come see our gig?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Well, this kind of plays into that. I also wanted to tell you I had a dream about you and Scott.
Ooh.
Creepy, huh? That part is creepy, huh? It was all good, though. I just dreamed that I was jamming Scott in the ass. And what?
What?
No. Because
I had that same dream.
I'm kidding. You were jamming yourself in the ass?
No, I was getting it from Jason.
No, no, it says, I just dreamed that I was jamming with you guys at one of your gigs. Not that it would ever happen, and that's
not
true. It would happen.
Yeah, if you show up, we'll get you up there.
I've played guitar for over 20 years now, but I'm an acoustic guy sticking to blues and rock. You guys rock, Jason. So yeah,
right on.
Yeah, man, he could come up and jam. You know, while I was in Canada, we went out to a bar Monday night. Our IT guy talked to me and this limey named Liam. Liam the limey that I work with. And Pete, Liam, and myself went over to this little pub. Pete wanted to go to a different one. And we saw the first one. We said, this one's fine. We go in, it's called The Harp, and it's a 20th anniversary, and the place is packed. It's a Monday night. And right away, I notice there's a live band playing. So we order some beers and, you know, clink our glasses together, and I just walk right past the two of them, go straight for the back, and sit down. And right in front of the band. And there's this four-piece band. It's an open mic night.
What town is this in?
This is in Mississausage.
Mississausage.
Yeah, Mississauga, just outside of Ontario. And it's like Elk Grove. And
well, that's great. All our listeners now know what it's like.
Elk Grove is kind of an industrial town. A lot of it is warehouses and factories, and this is what Mississauga is like. At least the part that I saw. I'm not, you know, maybe it's, you know, really upscale somewhere else, but there was kind of very, not really suburban-y, but like industrial town, kind of. And this band was fucking, you know, we always go see these open mic nights, and the bands just suck ass. You know, there's a hosting band, and they warm the crowd up, and then they call people up. And
they're usually in their 60s.
Yeah, they're in their 60s. And some of these guys, there was two guys in this band that were clearly in their 50s. And the other two, one was probably maybe our age, and the other one was a lot younger, in his 30s. And
it's not a lot younger. Come on.
It's 10 years, dude.
That's not a lot.
It's a lot if you're one.
Yeah, if you're one, it's a lot.
It's also a lot if you're 20 and the girl you're dating is 10.
Right.
So that's a lot.
That is a lot.
So, but anyway, the 150-year-old guitar player, this guy was like, you know, looked like this run-of-the-mill, skinny, gold guy with glasses and receding hairline. You know, nothing special, kind of a striped T-shirt on. And he's just wailing away on this Telecaster. I mean, he's just slamming away, playing all kinds of Stevie Ray Vaughan licks and all these just great blues runs and everything. And the drummer was really good. Looked like Midnight Oil. Peter Garrett from Midnight Oil playing drums. But these guys were phenomenal. And then I thought, okay, you know, it's going to suck at some point. You know, some retard musician's going to get up there and just train wreck this whole thing. But every single fucking singer, guitar player, drummer, they were all good musicians. It was like the dream team band from wherever. They were unbelievable. So we stayed till like we got there. I don't know, 9 o'clock, and stayed till midnight.
And you never went up there.
I never went up.
Why not?
I was starting to feel kind of crappy already.
Oh.
And I was a little intimidated by these guys.
Intimidated?
Well, I know if I would have went up there and started playing, I wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't want to leave, you know. I would have hung out all night long. Because I would have played some lick or something. Oh, dude, man, you're from Chicago? Oh, blah. You know, yeah, hey, man, you guys are great. And then the other two that are with me, they'd be like, oh, great. Fuck. Musician guy. So I'd, you know, be hanging, talking with these guys and stuff.
I see.
I don't know. It just, the vibe wasn't right, you know. Maybe right. If you guys were there.
Right.
I'd play.
Maybe.
Would you have?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Fucking A.
You're lying.
Man.
Why don't you ever play at the Beacon?
At a minimum, I would have run up and sang. I'd even play drums.
I'd fucking pay big money to see that.
Really?
Yeah, play.
Well, let's go to open mic night.
Play drums with a band like that.
Oh, I couldn't play blues stuff. But if anything, you know, more up-tempo. I'm
like what?
Okay. Anything.
Anything.
That's right.
Some Rush?
Fine.
Oh, I pay big for that. Some Tom Sawyer.
Right on, John.
Yeah, I just, you know, I wasn't feeling up to it. So I didn't do it.
No.
But I was really enjoying it, man. I thought it was kick ass. The sound was just right, too.
Was that the only night you were there?
Like, yeah.
You're only one night in Canada?
Yeah.
Then you came home?
No. I stayed, I flew out Monday morning and came back Tuesday evening.
Right. So you're only there one night.
One night, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you said one night and then you came home?
Yeah.
Yeah, I jumped on the plane right at the crack of dawn.
You're only there one night.
Yeah.
And then you came home. What is incorrect about that statement?
I was there one night, and I didn't just come home right after that. I spent another day.
I didn't imply that. You inferred that. All right, then.
I don't understand what the fuck you're talking about,
on,
you
John.
Idiot.
Last week, we talked about India and the goddamn holes in the trains, and the shit just goes out on the train track. And then we get this story out of India. You know, America has its share of problems with stupidity, because we got the commander-in-chief of stupidity in charge.
Yeah.
But then you read a story like this, followed up right after the shit story, and India is really not an appealing place at all to go. This is out of Thiruvananthapuram. Get this. At least 50 people in Khatyam District have reportedly lost their vision after gazing at the sun looking for an image of Virgin Mary. Though alarmed, health authorities have installed a signboard to counter the rumor that a solar image of Virgin Mary appeared to the believers. Curious onlookers, including foreign travelers. Okay, so it's not all Indians.
Yeah, right.
Foreign travelers.
You stupid idiots!
Have been thronging the venue of the miracle.
What are you doing, staring into the gaze of the sun?
St. Joseph's ENT and Eye Hospital in Kanjarapali alone has recorded 48 cases of vision loss due to photochemical burns on the retina. All of our patients have similar history and symptoms to damages to the macula, the sensitive part of the retina. They have developed photochemical, not thermal, burns after continuously gazing at the sun, said Dr. Anamanaman.
Anamanaman.
So these dopes are going and staring at the sun trying to see the Virgin Mary.
Oh, Jesus.
The patients show varying degrees of severity. They are mostly girls in 12 to 26 of age. Our youngest patient is 12 and the oldest is 60. Most of them look at the sun between 2 and 4 p.m. when the UV1 and UV2 rays are harshest, said Dr. Anamanaman.
Anamanaman.
Most patients may hopefully improve their vision, but there may be long-term effects on the retina, he added. What a bunch of dope. So you get off this train that smells like shit, and then you look at 20 people burning their retinas staring at the sun. What kind of country is that, John?
It's India.
I wonder if... We talked about this before. Do you think there's like a John and Scott Indian podcast? They make fun of America's stupidity.
That's somebody screaming after looking into the sun.
Also, I don't know if you heard this. Let's turn to the Vatican, John. The Vatican.
All right.
Now, the Vatican.
I don't have any Vatican music.
Yes, you may ask, what do these guys
do? I got some right here, Vatican music.
The Vatican. What do these guys do during the year? You know, they got the holiday celebrations, and that's about it. But no, John, they're actually hard at work coming up with new sins for the modern age. I don't know if you've heard this, but failing to recycle plastic bags could find you spending eternity in hell, the Vatican said after drawing up a list of 7 deadly sins for our times. Polluting the environment by failing to recycle is one of the new 7 deadly sins. The sins of yesteryear, sloth, envy, glutton, greed, lust, wrath, and pride, have a rather individualistic dimension. The new 7 deadly or mortal sins are designed to make worshipers realize their vices have an effect on others as well.
The sins of today
is it Dracula?
Have a social romance resonance. I'm sorry, a resonance.
He's German, man.
As well as an individual one, said Majorni Garate. In effect, it is important than ever, more important than ever, John, to pay attention to your sins.
According to Roman Catholic doctrine, mortal sins are a grave violation of God's law and bring about eternal death if unrepented by the act of confession. There are far more serious than venial sins, which impede a soul's progress in the exercise of virtue and moral good.
Majorni Jacarati said, genetic modification, carrying out experiments on humans, polluting the environment, causing social injustice, poverty, and becoming obscenely wealthy, and taking drugs are all mortal sins.
Now, I don't do drugs, though. Just weed.
So I don't know if you got
that
pamphlet yet in your mailbox.
No, not yet.
But I'm looking for that one.
Not yet.
That is out of sight.
That is one big pile of shit.
Yeah. So there actually is some study, some theology going on to get the Catholic Church into the 21st century there, John.
Well, that's reassuring.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, one other miscellaneous story here. Like many people his age, Mark Zuckerberg. You know who that is, John?
Zuckerberg, no.
The founder of the social networking site Facebook spends most of his day in front of a computer screen. But he is no ordinary 23-year-old. He's officially the world's youngest U.S. billionaire, John.
Wow.
Worth $1.5 billion. The young man has made his debut in the year's Forbes magazine list of the world's billionaires, where he secured the 785th rank. Facebook founder Zuckerberg is the youngest self-made man ever to make the list. 23 years old, John. $1.5
billion. Billion dollars.
Why didn't we think of that? Huh? Why didn't we think of Facebook? I mean, how hard could it be? Now, do you think what he was thinking about it? He was probably just doing it to communicate with his friends, right?
Yeah.
And then it grows and it grows, and then before you know it, $1.5
billion. Billion
dollars. I mean, we talk about Seinfeld winning the lottery,
yeah,
hooking up with Larry David, but this guy, unbelievable. $1.5 billion. First and third ranked investor Warren Buffett and Microsoft founder Bill Gates. He's number three now, Bill Gates.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, he ain't shit. Man.
Have fortunes valued at $62 billion and $58 billion. Well, didn't Gates give away a lot of his money already?
Yeah.
Fucking cockiness!
Can you imagine if you were when you were 23 being worth $1.5 billion, John? I can't even imagine that now.
No, I can't even imagine being worth like $100,000.
Do you think he even realizes what that means?
No. Well, who? The kid?
Yeah, Zuckerberg.
No, I don't know.
You fucking dick!
And when you're 23...
I don't know.
I mean, that's pretty young.
Yeah.
But do you retire?
Absolutely,
I'd fucking retire.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
I'd find something else to do. Like take naps and, I don't know, catch up on Bewitched and I Dream a Genie. Shit that I missed out on when I was developing Facebook.
Or, you know, work out. Do a lot of working out. Do stuff like...
I've been doing cock push-ups.
Cock push-ups?
Yeah.
What are those, cock push-ups?
It's where you fucking lay down flat on the ground, and then you let your boner lift you up off the ground.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'd have to cock do push-ups. A lot of that with the amount of pussy that would get thrown at you.
Cock push-ups?
If you were with... But how do you... Was that me? How do you drop that, though, in conversation?
Cock push-ups?
You'd have to, not cock push-ups, that you're worth $1.5 billion.
See, it's fucking simple.
You see, if I was worth $1.5 billion, I'd have to drag you around to tell everybody I was worth $1.5 billion.
Try to lose some of the weight.
I would feel awkward, you know, telling people that.
Telling them what?
That I was worth $1.5 billion.
Oh, yeah, so I'd have to do it?
Yeah, I'd drag you along.
Hard fucking?
You know, I'd cover half your tab.
Thanks.
Just to tell people, you know, that guy over there? Yeah, $1.5
billion. Slow down, I'm gonna spurt.
Sorry.
I don't think that would be a fun job for me.
I would make it worth your while.
You see that fat old lady over there? Go tell her I'm a fucking Brazilianaire, all right?
Yeah.
Break the ice, would you? And then I'll go walk over there, and then you'll talk to some kid and watch this guy. He's going to go over there. He's going to stick his tongue out at that lady.
Watch what he's doing, man. You got to be kidding me.
You got to be kidding me, man.
Yeah, but now that I think about it, I would, if I have $1.5 billion, I'm going to be ultra confident. I mean, I'm a confident man to begin with. But $1.5 billion, I am going to go, you know, this is hypothetical, of course. I am going to go to the hottest women in the bar and act as the biggest ass as I can. And then when they reject me, then I have you go over and tell them that I'm worth $1.5 billion.
You know this is all going to appear in divorce court, right? You know that.
We're speaking in hypotheticals here.
Oh, hypothetical.
Right.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetical.
No, but you said hypothetically if. So it's hypothetical unless you get the $1 billion.
So if you're this guy... Right? Do you try
if you
to
get the $1 billion? Then you don't care, right?
Right, I don't care. So do you try? Do you try to score with Hollywood? Like, would you go after a Scarlett Johansson? you know, Scarlett Johansson just auctioned a date, and some guy paid 40 G's to go to a movie premiere and out to dinner with her. If I'm the Facebook guy, I'm offering 100 G's for that. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Yeah.
And
that's
then
what
when
I
you're,
would do.
And when you're done, you say,
you shouldn't have fucked me so hard.
Right.
We got to get one of those Facebook accounts.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. One of the emails was about a Zune. Somebody asked about Zune. And
Zune,
I haven't
yeah.
done that yet.
The get Zune. On, get
the
on the Zune,
Zune
marketplace zone.
To make There's, it more yeah. convenient for them. To get our
right,
show.
Right, because they have the Zune.
I guess I got to jump through hoops to get this shit on the Zune right now.
Put two of them
up your ass.
Two Zunes up your ass, pal.
All right, John, let's turn to movies, because I saw some kick-ass movies, man.
Yeah?
I saw probably two of the best movies I've seen within 1 week of... The best two movies I've ever seen within a 1 week span of time.
Yeah,
I take that back because I really can't recall
one of them.
I can't recall the past movie going experiences I've had. And but before we get to movies, here's a story about Harrison Ford. This came out this week. Harrison Ford had no faith Star Wars would succeed.
Oh, none of them did, man. They made fun of Lucas and the lines that they were doing.
They did?
Oh, yeah. If you don't you have the
collector's
trilogy,
edition?
The collector's edition, where they do the making of, and they're interviewing them, and Mark Hamill or one of them, they're
is
like...
Is this present day, or was this at the time they were doing it, when they
this
interviewed
him? Well, this is... It wasn't present day. It was like in between... It was sometime in the past... but then they show like a scene of them, running through a door and then saying their lines and laughing and going, who says that? You know, what the fuck is that stupid?
Did Lucas write that script?
I don't know.
I don't think he did. I think he wrote, Attack of the Clones.
No, I think he wrote the Star Wars script, but he didn't write, the second one, Empire.
Hmm.
That was a different director, too, I think, Empire. Or I'm not sure. But there's a whole big, long making of and history of Star Wars. It's really cool, actually, because they show Star Wars comes out, and then they show Empire Strikes Back, and then they show this line outside of the, whatever that Chinese theater is in Hollywood. And there's like 5 million people in line, and they're dressed up, and it's crazy.
Home Media Magazine asked him about his defining memory of Star Wars. Harrison Ford responded, "The day my accountant convinced me that the success of the film and the two sequels that I was in meant I would never be poor again." Ford also indicated that he had very little confidence while he was making Star Wars that it would become successful. Whenever we would ask Lucas what we were shooting at or fleeing from, he'd just tell us the special effects will be put in much later, and that will explain everything. Ford added, "George will never be known as an actor's director."
Oh, yeah. It's clear, like I said, in Beowulf, I saw some forum posts and stuff. People don't like it, especially in the UK.
I saw that too.
But the actors in that have absolutely they have nothing to go off of except some wireframe props. And
their imagination,
yeah,
John.
And Zemeckis has to tell them what everything is going, you know, what's going on. When you see the blue screen in, or green screen or whatever they're doing, shots of the last Star Wars, what the hell was that called? The
Who cares? It sucked.
The third one.
It wasn't as bad as Attack of the Clones, but it was bad.
Well, I don't think so.
I think it was. Good. I don't know.
I love seeing fucking Hayden Christensen get burned alive. So fuck you.
It doesn't make it for me. If I saw maybe a Pam Anderson naked,
the thing about
then,
it is because the dialogue was terrible in it because of the script, obviously, and then he, like you said, he doesn't give them much direction. They're doing a sword fight on an embankment, and they do
sword fight.
They do all this, choreography, and there's much better sword fighting than there was in the first Star Wars, where you figure Obi-Wan and Vader, they've done this whole battle in Star Wars 3, which we see in the prequel. And they're like flipping over each other and they're doing all this shit. And okay, so they're old men in A New Hope, but you would think they'd have some better skills, you know? I mean, they let you, ksh, ksh, ksh. You were once the master. Now I am the master. Ksh, 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 ksh. And all of a sudden, poof, cuts them in half and it's over. But in, what the hell was it called?
I have no idea.
The third one.
The last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who cares?
Oh God,
I don't
care. That's the impression it put up. How lame am I? Return of the Sith or something?
What? Who doesn't matter?
It does.
Doesn't matter.
Just the fighting that they did in there. They're like flipping over stuff. They're throwing they're using the force push and the force pull. And all that. None of that happened in A New Hope.
Quit clicking around on your computer.
I'm not clicking around.
What is that I hear? Click, click, click.
I don't know.
All right, then.
What are you talking about?
Moving on. last week we did our 10 movies we fucking hate.
You're so irritating.
I neglected to mention one, so I'm going to have this one tie for number 10. And then since the list, I've seen another one that would definitely go on the list.
Yeah.
This is the On Demand. People in my neighborhood order On Demand, and I get to watch. So I'm up late, I don't know, Friday night maybe? And I scan past one of the channels. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band from 1978. Have you ever seen this movie?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's Beatles, man. I'm not a Beatles fan.
It's not the Beatles. It's the Beatles music. But it has...
But they're in it.
No. Well...
They're not?
George Harrison's in it, and I think that's the only Beatle that's in it. Yeah. Well, unless you count the fifth Beatle. What the fuck was his name? The black guy? He just died.
Oh, I don't know.
I forget
Pete
his name.
Pete Best?
No. Preston, Billy Preston. So
who the hell was he?
He was the keyboard guy. He played keyboard. They call him the fifth Beatle, man. Billy Preston. But what it is it's just a string of Beatles songs. And then they try to put some goddamn story about the Bee Gees running around with Peter Frampton.
Oh,
trying to collect instruments.
The Bee Gees?
The Bee Gees. The Bee Gees are in it, man.
What are the Bee Gees?
Staying Alive.
I know,
Saturday
but
Night
I mean,
Fever,
what does that mean?
Gees.
What is a Bee Gee?
I don't know.
Barry Gibb?
The Big Genitals. Who knows? The Bee Gees.
The Big Genitals.
So the main reason, so George Byrne narrates, right?
Yeah.
He's on the front
George
porch
Burns?
Smoking a cigar. The guy's like 100.
So.
The main reason George Byrne doing narration instead of letting the actors do the dialogue was mainly because of the British accents of Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees, who were supposed to be playing Americans. as well as the fact that Frampton and the Bee Gees had limited acting experience. I think limited is generous. They have no acting experience. Even after this movie, they have no acting experience. Just awful. It is just painful to watch. And the other thing that surprised me is this: Steve Martin was in this movie.
Was he?
Yeah, this is the feature film debut of Steve Martin in 1978.
Oh, no.
Was in this piece of shit movie that I just fucking hated last week. Now, the one I forgot to mention, it came to me a couple days after we recorded the show. This movie came out in 2002. It stars, among others, Michael Caine, Fred Savage, Tom Cruise, Gwyneth Paltrow, Kevin Spacey, Danny DeVito, Steven Spielberg, Quincy Jones, Britney Spears, Nathan Lane, Katie Couric, Ozzy Osbourne and his whole family, John Travolta, Burt Bacharach, Rob Lowe. Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
No.
It also stars Mike Myers, Beyonce Knowles, Seth Green, and York, and Robert Wagner.
What?
Austin Powers. In Goldmember.
Oh, my God.
I fucking hated this movie.
Really?
I really could not stomach this movie at all. I went and saw Austin Powers, the first one, with Bones and Brian.
Yeah.
At the theater. And I thought, you know, overall the movie's pretty shitty, but that character of Austin Powers is so great.
Yeah.
And then I really can't remember the second one, but the third one, Jesus Christ, it was so goddamn awful. It was so bad. And that would have, if I remembered, that would have been on my list, Goldmember.
I like that one.
I fucking hated that. We got to watch that together because you got to point out to me what you liked about that movie. I didn't like a goddamn thing.
What you liked about that movie?
And Beyonce Knowles, Foxy Cleopatra. Very attractive. And I just didn't get it. Didn't get it at all. Nothing. Didn't do nothing for me except make me want to goddamn vomit and ask for my money back.
But isn't Michael Caine his father?
Yes. They almost got Sean Connery to play his father.
Sean Connery.
Yeah, that was
that's a good Sean Connery. Was he Russian? My name is Sean Connery.
He was in a movie with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Sean Connery. Yeah.
All right, John. Now, the movies that I saw, did you see any movies this week?
Alex Trebek. I'll take The Rapist for $500.
Did you see
any
movies?
You ever see that?
No.
You ever see that SNL bit?
With Sean Connery?
Well,
or
it's
somebody
not really
pretending to
somebody
be Sean Connery.
Pretending to be him, and he fucks with Alex Trebek through the whole thing, and it says therapists for $500. He goes, I'll take The Rapists for $500 at Trebek, you pansy. It's great. It's a great fucking bit.
Now, the two movies that I saw that are fucking outstanding, John. One of them was stars. Tommy Lee Jones, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin, Woody Harrelson, Keddie McDonald, and Garrett Dillahunt. No Country for Old Men, John.
Nice.
Now, this won something this year.
Yeah, it won like four Academy Awards, man, or five.
Yeah, and this is by the Coen brothers.
But who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
About fucking Academy Awards.
Yeah, fuck that.
Stump.
Now, the Coen brothers, did they do Raising Arizona? No, I'm thinking of somebody else. No, I think they maybe did that. But they also did Fargo, which I really, really enjoyed. And then this one, No Country for Old Men. Just a fucking outstanding movie.
Yeah.
And to even mention...
Was it funny?
Austin Powers' Goldmember in the same podcast.
Oh, God.
With No Country for Old Men is insulting to No Country for Old Men. what a great movie. The only complaint I have is at the very end of the movie, Tommy Lee Jones is retired. He was the sheriff. He's retired because of this movie. It just sent him over the edge. or the things that occur in this movie. And he's talking to his wife, and he tells her about two dreams he has. And I'm a big guy, big dream guy. Like, when I have a dream, I want to share my dreams, you know?
And
then when
obvious.
Then when I watch Tommy Lee, and I'm bored out of my goddamn mind when he's telling his dream, and then it makes me think back of all the times that I've wasted people's time telling my dreams to.
Finally,
a realization.
Sense. So, tired of hearing about your nuts.
Yeah, I'd like to apologize to everybody I've wasted their time to tell my dreams
Dude,
to.
Check
because
this out. I had this dream last night.
I'm not going to say that anymore.
That I was getting ass jammed.
By nobodies?
By nobodies.
So, just to give her a summary, the violence and mayhem ensue after a hunter stumbles upon some dead bodies, a stash of heroin, and more than $2 million in cash. Some of the trivia here. Heath Ledger had been in talks to play Llewellyn Moss, but withdrew to take some time off instead.
Wow.
I wonder if he took this part, if he'd still be alive. Because he may not have had the time to work on Batman. And
well, why does Batman have anything to do with
Well,
him
some people have
dying.
Speculated that he totally got into this Joker, this psychopath role. A method actor, and he became a psycho.
The Joker?
Yeah. Now, this guy, one of the guys in the movie, the guy who won the Academy Award, he walks around killing people, and he uses a captive bolt pistol. It is most widely used in the slaughter of cattle to stun the animals before they are butchered.
Wow.
So it's like this air compressor and a hose. And what it does is it just punches the stud out like 2 inches and then pulls it back in.
Yeah.
And that's what the guy uses to kill people.
Wow.
The guy who won the Academy originally turned down the role because he doesn't drive. He speaks bad English and he hates violence. And that's exactly why the Coens wanted him. He's the first Spanish actor to win an Oscar. And the three main characters, Moss, Bell, and Charara, Shugurth, did not share any screen time together. And I think that's not correct. I think Josh Brolin and Javier Bardem share like...
Javier.
Share like 5 seconds. Share like 5 seconds of screen time.
Give me some of them jalapeno peppers.
So I
Javier.
So I got the movie on DVD, and I work at home on Thursdays, and you were home on Thursday. You didn't call me.
I was sick, man.
I was going to drive by and drop it off.
You have no idea how
so you could
fucking
see it.
Sick I was. I locked myself in my room while the cleaning lady cleaned my house, and then my wife subsequently fired her.
Nice.
Give her the walk of shame.
So the movie's got suspense. It's got gruesome murders. It's got...
some good kills.
Quality kills. It's got philosophy. It's got great dialogue, except for the last 2 minutes when Tommy Lee's talking about his dreams. Yeah. So I highly recommend 4 out of 4 Spiny Normans for No Country for Old Men.
Wow.
Also,
nice. That's a big endorsement.
I saw on DVD The Last King of Scotland. This was in 2006. The Last King of Scotland.
Yeah.
Have you seen this one?
No, that's with Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker portrays Idi Amin. James McCoy portrays Dr. Nicholas Garrigan. Also, Gillian Anderson plays Sarah Merritt. You know who that is? Gillian Anderson?
Yeah.
From the X-Files?
Yeah.
Here's what... So I watched this
How's
movie.
How's she looking then?
Looks really good. I didn't recognize her, though, until I did research on the movie to bring in and talk about on Total Talk Nonsense. So the thing about this is, I think this is based on a true story, right?
Yeah.
But it's not. The Last King of Scotland is a fictional account, but one which incorporates real events.
Ah.
So the story is about a...
Like the gladiator.
A Scottish guy who goes... He's a doctor, and he's going to go help out in Uganda. And Amin gives a speech in one of the towns, and then he gets in an accident, so the doctor has to come and help. And the doctor, Amin, is impressed with the doctor's actions, so he takes him and makes him his personal doctor. And then the whole movie is about this guy observing, starting to observe some atrocities and even being complacent, is that a word, in some of these things.
Yeah.
And I was all ready to come in here because I thought it was an accurate account. I was all ready to come in and rip this doctor a new a-hole for his stupidity on a grand scale. And then I go and research, and it's fictional. So this doctor never really even existed. This character never existed. But the performance by a Forrest Whitaker, who made his debut in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, is...
Right.
Is really good. Idi Amin. He was a British educated. He referred to himself as the last king of Scotland because he had this romantic notion of the Scottish people. And it was really a fucking great movie. But it was diminished by the fact that it's not... I thought it was a actual accurate account of what really occurred, but that's not the case.
It's fiction.
It is fiction.
Yeah.
So now when I think about it, I it makes me want to give it 3 out of 4 SpongeBob. If it was truly accurate,
real.
It would give me an excuse to rant about this Dr. Garrigan. But no, it's not.
But to know.
So instead of 4 out of 4, I give it 3 out of 4, John.
I hear you.
Three out of four.
I hear that.
But that is a excellent movie as well.
Wow.
Yes. And that does it for movies.
I didn't see any.
None. You were sick and you didn't see any movies.
Yeah, I was sick. I didn't see nothing.
The wife wanted to go to Horton Hears a Who today with the kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to go.
Are you kidding me?
I don't want to go
That's quality nap time.
Yeah, if I could stay at home. Can I stay at home?
No,
you take the kids.
What do you mean?
I can't sleep in a theater.
Oh, it's great.
If I was at the premiere theater, but they can't get the kids up there.
It's dark.
Oh, and you know the other thing? The family unit purchased the B-movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, with Seinfeld?
Yeah,
Swinefeld?
Yeah.
Nice. Did you watch it?
No.
Why not?
I'm not going to watch that.
You don't want to? Hey, why not?
Forget that. B-movie.
Come on. You don't want to listen to little Seinfeld as a bee?
No.
In his whiny voice the whole time?
Yeah. Whiny.
They were so... I hated the fucking advertisements for that movie. The marketing on it. It was everywhere. And they really, it must have tested bad or something with the audiences. So they just went apeshit trying to market it. Because I usually go see those with my kids. I was like, yeah, I have no interest in that.
It's a shitty movie. The story goes that Seinfeld was trying out his stand-up with Katzenberger over lunch. And it was failing miserably. So then he mentioned this other idea he had about a B-movie. What about the old B-movies? But it's really a B-movie. And Katzenberg said, okay, yeah, I'll fund that. I'll give you the money for that. Do it. And he had to go away and write a script or something.
Oh, man.
And it's just awful. It's just shitty. It's stupid.
That is one big pile of shit.
It is a big pile of shit.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't even know what the message is.
It's a Mex message, Scott.
It's Mex messages.
It's Mex messages.
I don't like Mex messages.
No, we don't like the Mex message.
Turning to celebrity news, John, you and I talk about midlife crisis and all. And here's one of the reasons why. Lohan rejects too old Roth. Not David Lee Roth. Director Eli Roth has vowed to hit the Botox after Lindsay Lohan rejected him for being too old.
You motherfucker!
The 35-year-old was stunned to find himself and a pal being checked out by the starlet and her friend during a night out in Beverly Hills. But he was disheartened when Lohan cast him aside because of their 14-year age difference. He writes in his blog, John, I was having drinks with a friend at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Lindsay Lohan walked by our booth with a girlfriend checking us out. She then went to the bathroom, turned around, came back, then walked by us again and mumbled to her friend, too old, and kept walking. Now, she's absolutely correct, but it is still pretty fucking hilarious, especially since we're in the Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel where the average age is 97.
You psychopathic bitch.
If you look too old in there, you're fucked. Time to hit the Botox.
What's the Botox going to do?
Who knows? I'm sure he's just trying to be funny. But the fact remains that Lindsay Lohan rejects 35-year-old men.
Wow.
You're a psychopathic bitch.
I'm the party pooper.
And ironically, she looks like she's 35.
Yeah,
all
I know.
That drugging and partying.
She looks like she's been dragged.
Dragged.
Yeah.
Pretty soon she's going to look like she's in drag.
Yeah.
Stop being such a pussy.
If she keeps it up.
Fucking Botox.
In other celebrity news, this really pissed me off. And I don't know how much dumber Paris Hilton can get. Is it possible for her to get dumber? Listen to this story. Socialite Paris Hilton has defended herself against criticism of her extensive pet collection, insisting, get this,
pet anus.
She only
pet anus.
Pet anus. Insisting she only owns 17 dogs because they keep breeding.
Breathing or
breeding? Breeding.
They breed too much.
Hilton claims her brood keeps growing because she doesn't want to separate newborn pups from their parents. She says they keep having babies, and I feel bad to give them away because I feel like if I had a baby and someone gave it away, it would be mean.
You know what? You breed too much.
Oh my god, she's so goddamn dumb. And who's the Good Charlotte guys? What are their names? Benji. What guy has a name Benji?
The Good Charlotte?
Yeah, what? Good. What did I say?
Good Charlotte guys.
Benji, what is their
Not
name?
The Good Charlotte. What are they called?
I can't remember anything, man.
It's all the drugs I'm on.
And that's the truth.
It's Good Charlotte, isn't
no,
it?
No, not
good. Benji's brother, Madden, Joel Madden, is married. Are they married yet to... who the fuck is that?
Is it Good Charlotte? Oh, the twins?
Yeah, and then Benji is going out with Paris Hilton. The only reason... Can he be that goddamn stupid, or is he just doing it to try to sell Good Charlotte albums? My assumption, he's doing it to try to sell Good Charlotte albums. How could you possibly spend a goddamn minute with this woman? Well, I can see how you can spend a minute with her. But how could you spend 3 minutes with this woman? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
She's got to be so goddamn stupid.
Actually, there's a picture in... what is it called? People Magazine with... is it Benji?
B-E-N...
Yeah, Benji, right.
J-I.
Benji.
Benji. What a dick.
Where he's wearing a PH ring and she's wearing a B-M. Bowel movement, yeah.
Do you think she even has one of those things?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to bring the story down, man.
Bad. Hey, bad.
Is it Lindsay? No, it wasn't Lindsay. God damn it. I forgot it. Somebody's reading Einstein.
No way.
Yeah, I'll get it in the break.
What are they reading?
I don't know
reading?
If we're going to take a break. Einstein, the book, Einstein.
The auto, or the yeah, auto, but the biography?
Yeah, what's the name of the author?
Wallace?
Yeah, something like that.
He's the guy who wrote 1776.
God
and
damn it, who is it reading it? Shit.
I don't know. Last celebrity story, John. Presley to sue over fat jibes. Fat
what?
Jibes.
Oh, because she's pregnant?
Pregnant singer Lisa Marie Presley is launching a libel. You see there, libel, John.
Libel.
Not slander.
Right.
A libel bid against a British newspaper after it published an article alleging she is overweight. Elvis Presley's daughter says the Daily Mail story, which was picked up by various media sources worldwide and by TTN, ridiculed her appearance and forced her to disclose she is expecting a child. Simon Smith, the star's UK lawyer, says the publication claims she had an unhealthy appetite and is growing like her dad.
Oh,
caused her to feel deeply upset and offended. The 40-year-old is issuing the libel claim against Associated Newspapers, the Daily Mail's publishers, at London's High Court. She and her mom are in a fight because of her weight. That's not true at all. It's just awful stuff. The star hit back at a media report on Friday with a blog on her MySpace. Hey, she has a MySpace.
A MySpace.
A MySpace. After being targeted all week of slanderous and degrading stories, now she's using it incorrectly. Shouldn't it be after being targeted all week by libelous and degrading stories?
Right.
Yeah, we should reach out to her. Become her friend on MySpace and give her the correct. Horribly manipulated pictures and articles in the media. I have had to show my cards and announce under the gun and under vicious personal attack that I am, in fact, pregnant. And she didn't have to. Why did she have to?
I don't know.
So they call you fat. So what? You are fat. You're pregnant.
Right. Quit crying.
Quit crying. And just because they said you were fat, that doesn't mean you have to go spill the beans that you're pregnant.
So
just keep your goddamn mouth shut.
Yeah.
What's
so
the
sensitive.
Big goddamn deal with these celebrities? I just don't get it, John. I don't get it.
I don't either.
So it'll be interesting. Last week we covered these dumbass lawsuits that I couldn't even believe. Like NBC is getting sued by the sister of a guy who's a pedophile who killed himself. She's blaming it on NBC. Now, how is this lawsuit going to go? Can they actually even consider this? This woman, Priscilla, Lisa Marie Presley, in the public eye.
And she is fat.
They said she's gaining weight. What's another word for gaining weight? Fat.
Fat.
She's getting fat. Who cares what causes it? They don't know. They speculated. Maybe she's eating a lot.
I remember now. Miley Cyrus is reading Einstein.
Oh, you know, the one clip I forgot to bring in. On our media page, on our website, if you go to the media page, it's going to show you the top 12 videos, the most popular videos for the day. So the most watched videos worldwide for the day come up on the media page. So I like to check that out. Miley Cyrus and one of her friends, they're starting to put out these videos on MySpace.
Yeah.
Or not MySpace, on YouTube.
MySpace.
They are the most goddamn annoying videos I have ever seen in my entire life.
Entire?
They're awful. And all it is cross promotion. It's about them putting on makeup or some shit like that.
Yeah,
but then
right.
they in the background, they play the Jonas Brothers, or they'll play some other fucking song that you're supposed to buy.
Right.
And I'm telling you, this is a mistake. Billy Ray, you got to reel that shit in. There's a thing called overexposure.
Right.
And nothing about these videos comes across in a positive light. All it comes across as is annoying as goddamn hell.
Annoying.
It's unbelievable.
Fucking annoying.
And why the hell would Miley Cyrus be reading Einstein anyway? She's got her
family. She says she wants to appear to be intelligent.
She's got her higher power, God. What does she need Einstein for?
Walter Isaacson is the author, I believe.
There you go. Walter Isaacson. She wants to appear to be intelligent?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember the
exact quote.
She
doesn't want to be intelligent, but she wants to appear to be intelligent.
Yeah. Wants people to think that she actually, you know, does stuff.
Does stuff?
Reads stuff.
That she, like, can form her own opinion?
Yeah.
Well, how about this? Stop dressing like a little whore on Barbara Walters. Why don't you start by doing that?
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Get your GED or whatever it is and go to Yale. Like, who's the chick from Star Wars who did that? Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Didn't Brooke Shields, she went to one of the Ivy League schools as well? Jodie Foster. There you go. Jodie Foster, she went to Harvard. That's what you got to do.
You,
you don't just read a goddamn book and pretend you're smart.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're smart. Yeah.
You know, the other thing she could do, John, because...
At least she's reading.
I think one of the great aspects of our show...
Yeah.
Is the education that we provide.
Right.
So not only
what
reading
not to
books,
do.
she should subscribe to our show.
I guess you're right. We do offer we offer all kinds of education, even a little bit of biology, about anatomy, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
In our urethras, we have a little teeny tiny vagina.
Just last week, we talked about G spots,
right?
And you can get a sonogram now. Is that what it's called? A sonogram?
Yeah.
Or is that something you mail to somebody?
Are you serious? You were joking when you said that stupid ass thing. Is that something you mail?
Hey, we're exchanging ideas. And when we exchange ideas.
Sometimes I wish. Sonogram. Yeah, it's a singing telegram. Sonogram.
I don't know. Now I know. You see?
It was invented by Sonogram Bell.
I got an education. And I'm a co-host, and I get an education. So just think of the listeners, the education that they're getting, John.
My drink was lovely. And how was your piss?
And your...
Who was that angry person? I'm not angry like that anymore.
Yeah, what happened?
My drink was
Erica,
lovely.
Anyway.
How was your piss?
And your
Oh, somebody made a mention of that on the forum, and I had to dig it out.
That
was funny.
Turning to science news, John. Get this. This makes
What's
me think
your fucking
of.
Point?
God damn it, there's one thing about that movie I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
I'll just skip it. Let's go to science news. Sexual attractiveness.
All right.
As behavioral scientists are discovering, sexual attractiveness is for the most part based on the amount of social capital a person possesses.
Really?
Really. So again... More studies and more
Genius.
Money to going to something that they could have just called us, John. Or we could have told them that.
Right.
That is unbelievable to me.
Be goddamn leavable.
More wasted money. All they have to do is tune into the true Hollywood story, Hugh Hefner, to figure that out. You don't have to do a goddamn study.
All right.
Next science story, John. A new study pegs the ideal duration for intercourse. Do you know what that ideal duration is?
No.
In minutes?
3.
7 to 13 minutes.
Oof.
But sex therapists say couples should keep the stopwatch out. of the bedroom. Good My sex needn't yet. Last all night. In fact, experts now say it shouldn't drag on longer than an episode of Sex in the City. That must be an attempt at humor. Humor. The best sex, according to new research published Wednesday in the Journal of Sexual Medicine, lasts a whopping 7 to 13 minutes plus a little foreplay. The study, based on a survey of 33 qualified Canadian and U.S. sex therapists, found that 1 to 2 minutes of intercourse for a heterosexual couple is too short, 3 to 7 minutes is adequate, and 30 minutes is too long. Between 7 and 13 minutes of intercourse is desirable, but that doesn't mean people should program their bedside timers. 7 to 13 minutes. I can't remember the last time that happened.
No doubt. Oh, man. Oh, hey. You remember...
I remember.
Sons of Butcher?
Of course.
Remember
they won an
guys?
Award.
Oh, you know... How'd you know that?
I know everything, man.
Boy, you're pretty clever, dude. Do you know what they won?
Song of the Year.
Right. Oh, were you going to talk about that?
No.
Oh. Why do you know it then?
Because I know everything.
You know what they won the Red Peters Award for the comedy song.
Yeah, he has a show on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Yeah,
and he comes on to Howard to promote his show sometimes. So he was on Howard Stern. I don't know, 2 months ago.
Yeah,
and he brought in the top three songs for Song of the Year, and Sons of Butcher was one of the songs.
Nice.
And I listened to the other two songs, and I knew Sons of Butcher would win because the other ones, there were no competition.
You know what they won?
No.
Well, you know
it's
what
like
song
a trophy.
It was.
Oh, I know the song. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck the shit, man.
Yeah. And who was playing it, man? A year and a half ago?
Sons of Butcher?
Sons of Butcher, us.
Right.
And they contacted us and said, play whatever you want, man. And you know why?
Why?
Because we played this song on our show. I don't know how I got it. You sent it to me or something. And we played it. And then I did some research on it, and I found out that it was a video. Then I tracked that from YouTube to their website. Found out they had a cartoon or something in Canada, and one of our listeners from Sweden heard our show, and they heard that, and they heard they asked me about it. I hooked them up with the website. The guy in Sweden emailed the Sons of Butcher. And one of those guys emailed me from Sons of Butcher and said, hey, man, it is so cool that you guys are playing our stuff. Play whatever you want. And they sent me a CD, which they signed. And they got fans across the land.
That's because that's what we're all
overseas.
About, John. Uniting bands and fans across the land.
Yeah, Pauly B's going to slap a lawsuit on us next week.
Would it be slanderous or libel?
No, it'd be copyright infringement. But since we're a satirical commentary, I think we have fair use.
I think you're right there, Johnny.
We are not a musical show, although we do play music.
All right, John, last science story. You could have kept playing that.
Oh, I'm
fuck
sorry.
The shit and the All shit right. and the fuck.
I could play a different one.
People who were spanked as kids are more likely to have masochistic, unprotected, or coercive sex.
Coercive?
Findings. The more you were spanked or hit before age 12, the more likely you are to have verbal coerced sex.
Wow.
The more you were spanked or hit, the more likely you are to have hit or held down a partner to get sex. Having been spanked makes you twice as likely to say you've insisted on sex without a condom. Spanking also increases a teen's likelihood of having sex with multiple partners. Now, do they mean at the same time or multiple partners?
I don't know, man.
In a sample of 200 college students, 40% of the never spanked group said they enjoyed masochistic sex, but 75% of the spanked a lot group said so.
Spanked a lot group.
Theories. Corporal punishment creates a psychological fusion of love and violence. It reduces concern for well-being of other people. It teaches poor impulse control. It makes your kids ignore your relationship advice. Spanking is bad. That is the bottom line. Spanking is bad.
What? Who says who, though?
Based on the study. You have...
How many studies? Just one?
Well, that's assuming that you think masochistic, unprotected, or coercive sex. Coercive. I wonder if I cut and paste that correctly. That word doesn't look right. If you think that type of sex is not morally reprehensible, then you're okay, I guess. So it's based on your moral compass there, John.
I guess.
But if you are a listener and you have been spanked and you have the type of urges that we've just described, so have other people.
Wow.
Whoa.
Whoa. That's deep.
That is deep.
Right, not necessarily. No pun intended.
All right there, Johnny. We're going to take a break before we get into politics and have Phil come over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a special selection.
What is that?
It's a cover that we did back at the studio.
Back at the studio.
Back at the old studio.
The old studio.
Yeah. Okay. Think you'll enjoy this.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. We'll be back in a few minutes. I got to take a leak.
Nice. Need a beer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a sure one.
Who are those angels singing,
yeah,
John?
I know.
Very angelic.
It was. It was nice, wasn't it?
It was nice.
Very nice.
When we say old studio, was that the place we rented out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day,
I missed that
man.
Place back in the day.
What? Are you serious?
No, of course not.
I'll fucking punch you in the nuts. Yeah, I can't. I am so glad. I can't wait to get out of this fucking place. I miss it. Because you could just go, you know, and do, say whatever you want while you're there. Now it's, you know,
yeah,
I don't know.
When I can't say the C word anymore.
Well, you can when we get a door.
Yeah.
Curtain's no good.
No.
I mean, you can. I'm, you know, it's not going to bother me. You're going to have to deal with my wife, though.
Oh, dude, man, were we going to take the time machine today or no? I see you got it all set up, but I can't remember if we had talked about a destination.
Time machine? To where? What are you doing?
We miss Brett Favre's retirement.
Oh, right.
So we're going to take a time machine back to check that out.
Yeah, we could. Give me a minute, man. I got to set it up. The time machine.
Right on. You mean like check and make sure it's got oil and gas
right,
and shit
right.
like that?
Fuel. Fossil fuel.
All right. Well, you want me to give you a political quiz before we get
yeah,
the time
go
machine?
Ahead.
Okay.
Hit me.
Who said this, John? Who said this? Somebody in politics said this. Tell me who said this. This is a quiz. I must say I'm a little nervous. If I were slightly younger and not employed here, I think it would be a fantastic experience to be on the front lines of helping this young democracy succeed. Talking about Iraq. It must be exciting for you, in some ways romantic, in some ways, you know, confronting danger. You're really making history, and thanks. Who said that?
I don't know.
Talking to, addressing soldiers from Iraq.
And it's a politician?
A politician.
The W?
That's right, the W. Who said that? Really? Could you believe that? What an ass.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. Shock the monkey, baby.
Shock the monkey.
Am I keeping you up?
No, not at all.
Am I keeping you up?
Mm-mm.
What the fuck, man?
Ugh.
Oh.
I must say, I'm a little nervous. I mean envious. If I were slightly younger, I'd be inebriated right now.
That's a good. You see that show, Little Bush or whatever it is?
No, I've heard about it. Heard about it?
Heard about it.
Never seen it. Little Bush.
Little Bush. It's like Lil Lederhosen.
Somebody emailed me about forum permissions.
Yeah,
go ahead and try again. I think it'll work. Oh, I know who it was. That's John. Good. Johnny T. Go ahead and try out the forum now.
That's a good.
Think it'll work.
I forgot to mention that. Professor Tom has a gig for us. I'm supposed to call him, and I keep fucking forgetting. He's got a paying gig for us.
Come on, man! You keep forgetting to call him.
I keep forgetting to call him.
Hey, has he put a show out lately?
I don't think so.
Do we need to take Kinky Sex off of our homepage? I mean, is the show over?
I don't
know. Ask him that when you talk
to him. I'll ask him. Yeah, I'll find out what's going on. I keep forgetting to call him. I forget to call everybody. I never call anybody. I don't fucking answer emails. I don't do anything.
That's maybe why we only have 17 listeners.
The wife's getting on me all the time. Are you going to call so-and-so? I'll do it, yeah. I never call you guys back. All right, time machine is ready to go.
All right, man.
Checked under the hood. Everything's good.
So, Brett Favre, Green Bay Packers, American football. Not that pussy football they play over
right.
in the UK. Retired. Hall of Famer. obviously. Right, John?
Let me dial that
Hall of Famer. Also, he was in Something About Mary. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
But last year, he gave an interview at the very last home game, and yeah, he broke down like a big baby.
Do you know
and started
what it
to
was?
Cry. What?
Oh, when? Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I got to dial in the coordinates.
Yeah, I left you a note up there. So last year, he was bawling his eyes out, and at the time, we speculated that he was definitely going to retire because there's no way he'd cry like that, like a big pussy, if he was going to come back and play. And then he turns out he comes back and plays for another season.
Yeah.
Which they were one game shy of the Super Bowl because of Brett.
Stop being such a pussy.
He threw an interception in the last, minute and a half?
Yeah.
That sealed the deal.
Stop
and Green Bay was out. So this year, instead of talking to a reporter on the sideline, he held a press conference and retired. But John and I both missed it. So we're going to take the time machine back.
Oh, yeah.
And check out
we
Brett
missed
Favre's
it.
Retirement
well,
press
let me change
conference.
The coordinates here.
And see if he's going to cry like a big baby again. Now, I say, John, he's not going to cry like a big baby again because he cried like a big baby the year before.
What? I'm putting the coordinates in, man. I had a date wrong.
So that's what I say. Do you say he's going to cry like a big pussy or not?
I why would he cry?
I would think there would be no reason to cry.
I don't think he'll cry.
We'll see.
All right. Let's walk over there.
All right, man. I'm ready.
Come on. Hurry up, man.
What?
I'm standing here. All right. Let's get in. Slide over. What are you doing, man? All right.
Come on, man.
Hey,
how
shut
many
up.
Times did I tell you to take care of this? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hold on.
Do
I'm
I need to get out
it.
And push again?
No, I'm pumping it. Oh, there we go. Hold on, man. Here we go.
When the balls hit the wall. That's my favorite part. When the balls hit the windshield. No doubt. All right, let's head over. I think that's the building over there.
Yeah, let's walk over there.
Ready now. We forgot to get out of the car, man.
Oh, yeah. Let's get out of the car first.
The time machine. Don't we? Right on. Slide over. Oh, what are you doing, man? Let's walk over this building. All right. Well, you cheated. You went out the window. Oh, yeah. Brett Favre. Oh, yeah. Let's open the door. Green Bay Packers. Brett Favre. Favre.
Must be in the newsroom here.
All right. Here he comes.
Oh, he's coming up to the podium.
There it is. I am officially retiring.
There we go.
From the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And as much as I've thought about what I would say and how.
Somebody turn that teletype off. There we go.
He's losing it already.
I didn't get emotional.
He promised who?
Stop being such a pussy.
Oh, never easy.
So shut up!
You know, it's funny, I've watched him.
I'm glad we brought Arnold along.
And you wonder what that would be like. Think you're prepared.
Spit it out, man!
But I was telling Deanna on the way over here, God has blessed me with
a big vagina.
So many great things, ability, wonderful family.
So I can cry at a press conference.
I was flying up here today. I thought about so many different things and how I wanted to say some of the things that feel like I need to say.
But, like, I think I'm going through menopause.
He gave me an opportunity to use my abilities, and I seized that opportunity. And I thank him for that.
You're welcome.
What's your fucking point?
I'd like to thank the Packers. Give me an opportunity as well. I hope that every penny
I'm gonna throw up. Pull yourself together.
I hope that every penny that they've spent on me, they know it was money well spent.
My drink was
about
lovely.
Money or fame.
How was your piss?
And your
records. And I hear people talk about your accomplishments and things that it was never my accomplishments. It was our accomplishments. The teammates that
right on.
I played with, and I can name so many. It was never about me. It was about everybody else.
Yeah, right.
It so happens that the position I played got most of the attention. But Packers have been it's been a great relationship. And I hope that this organization and the fans appreciate me as much as I appreciate them.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here. Have you heard enough? Let's get back over to If you think we took Brett Favre back in time and he could do it again, you think you'd get it right? Well, you wouldn't cry if we gave him another chance?
I don't know.
Or you think he's still crying like a big pussy? All the way back in time? Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, if we took him with us, we brought him back in time, before the press conference, we let him do it again, you think he'd still cry? Oh, yeah. Yeah?
Yeah. I am officially retiring.
It's not about the money. It's not about the money.
Green Bay Packers. And, as much as I thought about what I would say and how...
All right. Let's stop this train wreck.
What's wrong? What do you mean?
All right, let's get back in the car. Slide over. Hey, I was wondering, you know, like if we stopped at a White Castle, you know, and got some sliders,
you know,
and then we came back to the future.
Yeah.
Would the meat that we ate
evolve back into a cow?
Would it age like 2 weeks? Or however long ago the press conference was and we'd get like food poisoning?
I don't think so. Or take your example. Let's say we stopped at White Castle and then went back a year in time. Would the meat turn back into a cow in our tummies? I doubt it, because we'd be protected by the walls of the vehicle. The walls of the vehicle.
Of the vehicle.
Yes. That's why we could take Zach with us.
Oh, that's right. I
remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't turn into an infant.
No.
We took him back. Right.
All right. That's right, because it's all relative.
Yeah, how right.
I could have a conversation with Miley Cyrus about this. Because she read about Einstein.
Yeah,
and we could talk about relativity.
Right. It's all relative.
Yeah. Right on.
Right. All right, let's get this focused. All right.
You know, I think we should really put more thought into going back in time.
Okay. Good idea.
It's kind of a wasted opportunity to see Fred Farber.
Yeah.
So what were you saying? What do you mean? What's, I don't
remember.
We have
a time machine at our disposal.
Yeah.
You think we could come up with a better idea than Brett Favre's news conference?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you'd think maybe you'd give me a little more prep than just 4 seconds before we take off.
I know, you had to punch in the coordinates.
Yeah, and we got to, decompress and everything. It takes time.
Right.
You got to wear special masks.
It's like when you scuba dive.
Right.
You can't come back too quickly. Or you get the bends. John, the bends.
Right. Right.
Right on. I got some politics.
You do?
Yeah, you can. You got anything?
What?
Any politics, man.
Politics?
Yeah. You got any?
No. I do have something.
Something? You can put something together?
Yeah. Well, there's a thing going on in the Supreme Court right now. For the first time in 70 years, the U.S. Supreme Court will take on the question of whether individual Americans have the right to keep and bear arms, or whether it is a collective right of the people or service in a state militia.
So what difference would it make?
Basically, there's this interpretation by liberals that the right to keep and bear arms. Well, here's what it says in the what fucking amendment?
Come on,
is
man,
it?
Spit it out.
In the Second Amendment, it says a well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. And the problem with it is they're arguing that they believe that only a well-regulated militia or the cops or anybody can bear arms. The right of the people does not mean individual rights, which it doesn't make sense unless, so it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And they're saying it's a collective right and only given to those who are part of the military. The great argument that a great Penn Jillette makes is that the reason why it's an individual right, which is part of the Bill of Rights, which is the part that grants individual rights, is that in that sense you can you have a gun so that you can protect yourself against not only foreign invaders but invaders into your house, on your property, or against an oppressive government, a government that becomes military and fascist.
Right on. And I totally agree with that interpretation.
Yeah.
And to me, the two phrases before they get to the individual right to bear arms are examples. For example, if this happens, or if this happens, what they should have included was not limited to these two.
Right.
Then, comma, everybody has the right to bear arms. That's my interpretation. Let's see what these whack jobs on the Supreme Court say, though.
Well, it says few constitutional law issues have triggered more scholarly debate and historical research on whether the Constitution's authors intended to guarantee an individual right or a collective right tied to service in a state-regulated militia like today's National Guard. But, you know, back in the day, you were required by law to have a musket with six rounds laying around because you could be called up. That's what a Minuteman was. Call the Minutemen. You know, they're volunteers from your local farms to join the military. A well-regulated militia was just townspeople.
Yeah.
Protecting their property. So, you know, I'm for, you know, certain kinds of gun control. I don't think people should be walking around shopping malls with a 45 or an AK. But there's no way I would give up my Second Amendment right. That's just fucking wrong.
Right on. And we don't even have guns.
No.
But if we wanted to get one, we need that Second Amendment.
Right. I know where to get them too, man.
Really? You mean legitimately? Or?
Yeah, legitimate.
Yeah, Walmart.
I got an uncle that's got like 10 million guns. You'd think the guy is, somebody's coming down. The terrorists are coming to his house. He's ready. He's packing. He's ready to go at any time, man. Remember those guys we were talking to, the brother from next door to our studio?
Yes.
With the big beard? He was telling us he's got a 50 cal mounted to the back of his pickup truck.
Yes.
And he was shooting it in Virginia or whatever town he's from.
Virginia's not a town.
No, I mean, state. Whatever fucking state. Some hillbilly state he was in. West Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's shooting it and it was lifting the back tires, the whole thing off the ground. Yeah, that's some firepower right there. That's not something I'd be into having.
And speaking of the Second Amendment, that's a nice segue into some of these other stories that I have. Talking about the current state of our government. First of all, I don't know if you've heard this, Kellogg, Brown, and Root. Do you know who that is?
No.
The nation's top Iraq war contractor, and until last year, a subsidiary of Halliburton Corporation, has avoided paying hundreds of millions of dollars in federal Medicare and Social Security taxes by hiring workers through shell companies based in a tropical tax haven. I mean, the news just doesn't get any better. It just gets worse and worse.
I know.
And nobody does a goddamn thing about it because they must all be in on it. They must all be getting goddamn kickbacks from this. And it just goddamn nauseates me. Now, here's something else we talked about. I think we talked about this about a year ago, where we speculated that the W was going to launch an attack on Iran right before the elections, cancel the elections, and therefore remain president.
Oh, boy.
Indefinitely. Get this news. This is disturbing news, John. The abrupt resignation yesterday of a top U.S. commander in the Middle East, Admiral William J. Fox Fallon, has sparked a new round of speculation that President Bush and Cheney have some sort of plan in the works to attack Iran before their time is up.
Oh, yeah.
Fallon's resignation or firing was apparently precipitated in part by a recent Esquire profile that depicted him as brazenly pushing back against the White House, hawks eager to launch another war. Now, as it turns out, what Thomas P.M. Barnett, a former naval war colleague professor, wrote in that profile was eerily prescient. How does Fallon get away with so brazenly challenging his commander-in-chief? The answer is that he might not get away with it for much longer. President Bush is not accustomed to a subordinate who speaks his mind as freely as Fallon does, and the president may have had enough. And it turns out that the president, the W, did have enough.
Yeah.
So they forced this guy to fucking resign because he's not toeing the line like all these other goddamn stooges that he has. Then this comes out in the Washington Post. This is on Thursday. White House watch. Are we closer to war? This is the headline. The abrupt resignation yesterday of the top U.S. commander in the Middle East has sparked a new round of speculation that President Bush and Cheney have some sort of plan in the works. And it's just getting goddamn ridiculous, John. I don't see how they could justify attacking Iran.
Well, you know,
are we going to start to see the propaganda?
If it does happen, the only ones that are to blame after that are the fucking Democrats for not passing articles of impeachment. That big fucking pussy Nancy Pelosi.
Right
who,
on there,
who wouldn't
John.
Wouldn't push articles of impeachment. And if they fucking did that, and it cracks me up, too. You get them on the radio, you start talking, you start slamming it in their face. You're not doing anything. Yeah, we are. We passed the minimum wage law, and well, you know what? People are hurting in the pocketbooks and shit, but you know why? Because we're fucking spending all this money and borrowing it from China and Japan and all that to run this bullshit-ass war in Iraq and Afghanistan, where the Taliban is cranking up again, and the opium crops are bigger than they ever were.
And now in the future, Iran? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a goddamn joke. It's a joke. The
articles
future
of impeachment.
It's a joke.
And you fucked up. Oh, well, he'll be out of office soon. Yeah? What if he doesn't leave?
Yeah.
What are you going to do then?
Then I'm going to tell on my neighbor first and say that they're terrorists. And that's going to keep me out of Gitmo.
Yeah, when I was in Canada, there's some I was talking to some people up there, and one guy was telling me that he does not like Barack or Hillary. He wants McCain. I said, are you out of your fucking mind? What? Because Hillary and Barack said that they want to renegotiate NAFTA. Now, I am sort of for that because I don't really think that countries should get off scot-free, especially ones that break laws, the same laws that we're bringing 12-year-old kids into court for stealing pirated material. And then you got countries like China we do business with, and they get a movie, and they're selling it in 2 minutes on the street for $1. In a DVD, and we continue to do business with that country without the government cracking down on it.
And well, not to mention the human rights violations.
Human rights violations, and you know, some of these economists are like, "Well, they're getting a middle class now. At least they're making some money." Well, that's true. They are, but they're also devaluating the yuan.
Devaluating the yuan.
Devaluating it.
You mean the yen?
Yen is Japanese, you knucklehead.
But the funny thing is, now when whoever, like Spielberg and some celebrities, are protesting Beijing for the Olympics about China's human rights violations, China comes back and says, hey, you fucking hypocrites, what are you talking about? You got Gitmo going on, and you got undisclosed locations around the globe.
Right.
Where you're torturing people, and you're going to tell us about human rights? Fuck you.
You're right. And the Brits, you know, I'm working for now, they're the same way. They're like, you know, you guys used to be what everybody looked up to and said, this is the country I want to live in. This is the country I want my country to be like. And now we're no better than some of these human rights violating third worlders. It's fucking ridiculous.
It's goddamn ridiculous,
fucking
John.
Bullshit paranoia. Remember, it was 19, not a whole fucking country after our ass. It was 19 hijackers, a bunch of whack jobs, whacked out on religion. Thugs.
Thugs, John.
Fucking thugs. What a fucking joke. The future is a joke, Scott.
All right, let's turn to some lighter political news. New York Governor Eliot Spitzer, everybody's heard this already, was paying an escort $4,300 in a hotel room in Washington. Just down the road, George Bush's new Federal Reserve Board Chairman, Ben Bernanke, was secretly handing over $200 billion in a tryst with mortgage bank industry speculators. Okay, so the housing market is for shit over here.
Yeah.
So the government's bailing out all these fucking banks with our tax money.
Right.
Where is all, you know, we ask this question every goddamn podcast. Where is all this fucking money coming from? Iraq is costing how many billion a month? Now they're just turning over $200 billion to the mortgage industry?
Right.
What the fuck is going on?
Treasury bills, man. And they're being purchased by China and all these other countries. And you know what? There's countries that are selling off our dollars now because they don't trust the value. The value is plummeting so quickly that they're worried they're not going to get their money back, the interest.
It's like having some Confederate money at the end of World War,
right.
Or World War, at the end of the Civil War. It's a worthless paper, John. So they're comparing Spitzer and the escort, this chick, 22-year-old woman, with $4,300 in a hotel room with $200 billion. And they say both acts were wanton, wicked, and lewd. But there is a big difference, John. The governor was using his own checkbook.
Right.
Bush's man Bernanke was using ours. This week, Bernanke's Fed, for the first time in its history, loaned a selected courtier of banks one-fifth of $1 trillion to guarantee these banks' mortgage-backed junk bonds. The deluge of public loot was an eye-popping windfall to the very banking predators who have brought 2 million families to the brink of foreclosure.
Wow.
But get this, up until Wednesday, there was one single lonely politician who stood in the way of this creepy little assignation. Little assignation? At the bank's bordello. And do you know who that was?
Who?
Eliot Spitzer.
Wow.
Who are you kidding?
So,
Spitzer's lynching and the banker's enriching are intimately tied. That's what this guy's saying.
Well, that's what's funny is you got this fucking new attorney general who's in charge of the FBI. He's top cop, right?
Top cop.
And he won't turn over the subpoenas on... what the fuck's her name?
I don't know, man.
God damn it. That broad that was...
The
broad that was like the attorney for the W.
Oh, Myers. Harriet Myers.
Harriet Myers.
That he nominated for the Supreme Court.
Harriet Myers.
Let's not forget that.
And somebody else. They're supposed to... They've been subpoenaed to appear before the Senate Judicial Committee or something. And for an investigation, and he's blowing it off. Yeah, fuck it. I'm not going to serve them. But what I will do is I'll have the FBI tap the phone of this guy who's banging some hookers.
Right, right. And the same guy who's standing in the way of the government bailing out
right.
The mortgage companies with our money, our tax money, John.
You know, it's just Spitzer fucked a whore, but the W is fucking us.
No doubt, man.
You know?
No doubt.
It's a bunch of shit.
And Spitzer, you're a fucking idiot. Yeah, I know. How could you be so goddamn stupid?
I know.
Dumbass. Don't these people think at all?
No.
Okay, if I'm Joe Blow and I, of course, I'm not going to have $4,300 to spend on a hooker. But let's say I do make some money. If I'm not in the public life, maybe you can even consider that, right? Maybe. But if you're the goddamn governor of New York and you're spending money, wasn't he spending tax money or some shit like that? It wasn't even his own money. On hookers.
Campaign money.
Whatever. How goddamn dumb can you be?
Yeah.
And you're the governor of New York. You
can't... I blame his wife. If she'd put out, you know.
Yeah, that's funny. We should go. Well, the thing is.
She should have got on all fours.
I guess.
What the fuck?
When you spend that much money, what you're paying for is the confidence that this information will never come out. But how stupid can you be to not, like, well, he couldn't spend his own money, I guess. His wife would have called
him. Well, I don't
that.
Think he ever thought the FBI would be tapping his phone.
Right. Well, how could you not think that? I mean, the guy made a lot of enemies in politics.
Yeah, he did.
And there's a lot of money involved. How could he not think that? And the guy's in politics. I mean, the shit, he has to be in the middle of this shit all the time. But no, he's too smart to get caught. He's what? What a dope.
Goddamn dope.
Now, come Saturday morning, while newsreaders drooled over pictures of call girls, guess what the W was doing?
He was
moving to suppress a study that he doesn't like. The Pentagon on Wednesday canceled plans for a broad public release of a study that found no pre-Iraq war link between Iraq's Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda.
I mean, that's been established like 100 times.
It's been established, but now the report, it's actually written down now. Rather than posting the report online and making officials available to discuss it, as been planned, the U.S. Joint Forces Command said it would mail copies of the documents to reporters if they ask for it. The report will not be posted on the internets.
Oh, Jesus.
Unbelievable. And then the other thing about this story is I just saw this yesterday or maybe today. This woman, the hooker, the hooer.
Yeah.
Who, I don't know how much money she got from this guy. Her attorney. She's got an attorney, and he's running around crying about all the pictures on the web that are used without her consent. And how dare they? And he's thinking of pursuing them with legal action. So I'm sure, have you seen photographs of this woman on the web?
No.
They're all over the web.
Oh, the hooker?
The hooker, the hooer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Then she gets $1 million offer from either Penthouse or Playboy to pose nude. This is the best goddamn career thing that could happen to a hooer. Right? But the lawyer's running around like he's going to sue somebody? Hey, first of all, Spitzer's a governor. She doesn't know that by being his hooer, she may be thrust into the public spotlight?
Oh, no. That's a good pun there.
What? Thrust.
Thrust.
Come on. Give it up, you stupid-ass lawyer. Yeah. What you need to do is ask her to manage her career and get 10% of that. Is what you need to
do. No doubt.
Instead of running around crying about photos on the internet.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Your wife would take care of you. You'd
That's right.
Running around with whores.
Oh, one last story out of the Vatican. I don't know if you heard this, but the Pope, he's had enough with the slaughters in Iraq. Pope, being a dick to the 16, issued one of his strongest appeals for peace in Iraq on Sunday. Days after the body of the kidnapped Chaldean Catholic Archbishop was found near the northern city of Mosul. Boy, Phil's really getting on my nerves, man. The Pope also denounced a 5-year-long Iraq war. 5 years, John. Five years.
Fucking years.
Saying it had provoked a complete breakup of Iraq's civilian life. And for once, the Pope is right on. Right on, John. I want to join the Catholic Church because of this.
But I want to know who we're fighting in Iraq.
Enough with the slaughters, John. Enough with the violence. Enough with the hatred in Iraq. Benedict said to applause at the end of his Palm Sunday mass in St. Peter's Square. And for once, I agree with the Pope being a dick. Right on. Five years, John. 5 years. Oh, and who's the guy? I forget the general. But he said, yeah, the surge isn't working. So that didn't work.
Yeah.
What's next? What's next, McCain?
I don't know.
100 years? It's going to take 100 years?
Bomb, 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 Iran.
All right, man, let me go get the door. Goddamn Phil. I'm going to punch him in the face when I open the door. You ready for that? Are you ready for me? Because I'm going to punch that mother effer in the face, man. Get to the door.
Are you going to open it?
Hey, man, take this! I missed.
You missed!
Let me try again.
How'd you miss?
Let me try again. Yeah, he's too quick for me.
Well, swing again.
Let me try one more time. I got him.
It's pretty late, man.
Well, he ducked the first one. I got him that time.
Is he okay?
Oh, let me get my nose back into it here.
I think that was uncalled for, unprovoked violence. But if that's what you're all about, Scott, what a dick.
Hit him again. One more time.
All right, enough of that. Nonsense. That's total nonsense.
All right.
Yes, let's get to the news. I have 5 pages of news today.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because of the 2-week layoff.
I got to go to bed.
All right. I'll try to get through this as quickly as possible.
What are you,
thank
Tom,
you, John?
Tom Brokaw?
Fuck you, Scott. You pole smoker.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News.
So shut up!
Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
Their first story tonight. 2 14-year-old boys kicked out of school for taking Viagra.
What?
Turns out they're having a really hard time with their suspension. Next story, John. Mayor of New Orleans. I am a vagina-friendly mayor. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says he is a vagina-friendly mayor. Doesn't stop there. Says he wants in. Megan made the remark while welcoming the author of the Vagina Monologues, Eve Ensler, to the city to promote the V-Day celebration in New Orleans next month. Scheduled to appear during 2 days of educational, cultural, and entertainment events at the New Orleans Arena and Louisiana Superdome are Oprah Winfrey, Jane Fonda, Glenn Close, Selma Hayek, Sally Field, Christina Lotti, and Faith Hill. Mayor Nagin began his comments at a news conference by saying, "How am I going to stand up and say, I'm a vagina-friendly mayor to those cameras after Chocolate City and some of the other stuff I've done. But you know what? I'm in." Next story, John. Masked men steal $30,000 from topless bar in Mount Vernon. Police ask citizens to be on the lookout for anyone purchasing big ticket items with singles. Mr. Schmuel, unavailable for comment. Next story, John. This next story is out of Poland, John. Poland. Man denies having sex with a vacuum cleaner. Says he was just vacuuming his underpants. This is Poland, after all. A man claimed he was cleaning his underpants with Henry Hoover. A stunned security guard stumbled onto the man in the middle of a compromising act with the cleaner, which has a large smiley face painted on its front and a hose
protruding from its nose. The security guard, suitably horrified, told the man to clean himself and the Hoover before asking him to leave and informing the bosses. When later questioned by his employers, the man said he was vacuuming his underpants, which was a common practice in Poland. He has since been fired. Next story time. New Jersey dumbass teen tosses spray paint can into campfire to see what
Jesus.
It would do. A dumbass teen tosses a can into the campfire, spray paint can, to see what it would do. Well, let's see. It exploded, giving said fucktard second-degree burns and a ride in a helicopter. Next story, John.
Nice.
A woman was busted for not wearing pants and flashing her breasts at a group of guys in a public park, which does not sound like a crime until you realize she's 50 and a crack and meth addict. Meth mouth, anyone? Next story, John. Red Sox scout arrested for masturbating in public.
Oh, Jesus.
Turns out he was a big fan of the Yankees. A scout for the Boston Red Sox accused of committing a lewd act in a hotel room that overlooked a pool where at least two teenage girls saw him was arrested Monday. Jesse Levis, 39, faces two counts of felony committing lewd and lascivious acts in the presence of children less than 16. Next story, John. Father of the Year candidate's plane makes an emergency landing on a golf course. The emergency? Pilot's wuss of a son was late for tennis practice. What? Did faggot school have the day off? Next story, John. $1 million offered for Hillary Clinton to pose nude.
Did you say Clinton?
Clinton to pose nude. Required.com entrepreneur wants Hillary Clinton to pose nude. Robert Porter wants Clinton to pose nude for a series of tasteful yet artistic nude photos. He wants it so much he's willing to pay $750,000 that was now upped to $1 million. Still no word from the Clinton camp. Next story, John. Cop suspended 10 days over taser incident when attempting to taser a cow. The good news is the cow was unharmed. The bad news is the cop ended up tasing himself and still has a job. Next story, John. Police probe possible spork robbery. Police probe possible spork robbery. This is out of Alaska, John. Anchorage police have arrested a suspect in an armed robbery. Now they're trying to determine if the weapon involved was a spork, a hybrid of the spoon and a fork, found at fast food restaurants. Police said the suspect tried to grab a man's watch on Monday night. The victim said the assailant swung a pocket knife at him, but four parallel scratches on the victim's side make police suspect the wound was administered with a spork. Peter Albert, 52, was arrested a few blocks from the scene and charged with robbery. Police said Albert was intoxicated, surprise, surprise, and carrying a small pocket knife as well as a backpack containing a fast food bag and sporks. Albert is being held at the Anchorage jail with bail at $5,000. Next story, John. John, yeah. Have you seen
yes?
the recently discovered 120-year-old photo of Helen Keller?
No.
Neither did she. Next story, John.
Hey.
Yes, John.
Do you know why Helen Keller masturbates with one hand?
I do not.
So she can moan with the other.
That's funny, John. All right, then.
You know why she couldn't call for help when she fell off the cliff?
No, I do not.
She had her mittens on.
Oh, that's not as good as the first. Fight breaks out at party at Chuck E. Cheese. Two Boston area moms are being summoned to court after police say they got into a fist fight at Chuck E. Cheese Saturday, when one woman's son hogged an arcade game from the other's 9-year-old birthday boy. Katharina Aliaga, 38, and Teresha Williams, 33, will be charged with a simple assault and battery after they started shouting and scuffling at Aliaga's son's birthday. Allegheny took offense to Williams' 13-year-old son using a basketball game machine for a long time. Allegheny told their son to be patient while the other boy had his turn with the game. At one point, Williams' son apparently pushed the boy. He accused him of hogging the game. Allegheny said, "Oh, no, you didn't." And the other boy was done shooting hoops. And Williams replied, "Oh, no, he's not." Williams lunged at Allegheny, grabbed her, and began to hit her, punching her on the side of the face. Allegheny of 14 Elliswood Street, West Roxbury, and Williams of 51 Ellington Street, Dorchester, have been charged with disorderly conduct. Scott, can you please get me a glass of water? Next story, John. Florida Bank. Florida Bank begins foreclosure proceedings on a man's house while he's in England. Changes locked and empties pool before discovering he didn't have a mortgage with them. Next story, John. I tell you this, John, it's a good thing Pauly B and Tony Hearn of Punky Radio are all grown up. You know why, John?
No.
There's a new plan that would allow UK teachers to enter kids' DNA into national database if they display at-risk early criminal behavior, such as antisocialism, radicalism, violence, eating glue, masturbating, and red hair. In related news, nearly half of all injuries caused by police shootings in the UK are the result of officers accidentally shooting themselves or a colleague. Next story, John. Woman files lawsuit against AMR because passenger next to her slapped while she napped. A 21-year-old Harris County woman filed a $200,000 lawsuit against American Airlines alleging employees on the flight to Los Angeles from Dallas Fort Worth Airport failed to protect her while she slept from another passenger who masturbated to her and ejaculated in her hair, according to a lawsuit she filed. The Harris County woman alleges employees knew of the risk associated with failing to police the passengers to ensure that passengers do not hurt one another. Airline officials did not return calls seeking comment. In a statement to Houston Television Station last year, a spokeswoman said the company regretted the incident, but the flight crew took appropriate action. The woman slept most of the flight, but awoke about 20 minutes before landing when the pilot announced the plane was on a descent into Los Angeles. When the woman opened her eyes, she saw that an unknown man had moved into the seat next to her and was staring at her as he masturbated.
Oh, no.
The woman turned toward the window in embarrassment and in an act of nervousness began to run her fingers through her hair, where she noticed a substantial amount of an extremely sticky substance in her hair, the suit states. The woman began to cry and tried to get the attention of a flight attendant, but this was unsuccessful, the suit states. Finally, the passenger in the row in front of the woman comforted her and verified the semen in her hair. When the plane landed, employee called airport police and the man was arrested. Although he has a history of ejaculating in hair, Matt Kitten Sparks from The Mediocre Show is not the man that was apprehended.
Kitten Sparks? What?
That is his last name. Matt Kitten Sparks Kitten of The Mediocre Sparks. Show. Next story, Todd. A general says Al Qaeda may be plotting to attack the U.S.
Oh, again?
Also says really? The sky is blue, what goes up must come down, and avoid tongue piercing as it may cause tetanus.
Tetanus. Pain.
Next story, John. The story is out of the U.K., John. First, we heard about the worker caught having sex with Henry Hoover. Then we heard about the man had sex with a bicycle. Then the man, just last week, was acquitted for having sex with pavements.
You are a meathead.
And now comes the next story. A man arrested for having sex with a lamppost.
Ah,
a man has been arrested in Wilshire for allegedly simulating a sex act with a lamp's post.
Lamp's post.
It is the last of the spat of bizarre sex crimes involving inanimate objects. The incident was witnessed by children, John. That's not funny.
No,
the police spokesman said officers were called to a road in the town of Westbury on February 16th after they received a report of a man acting indecently outside a block of flats occupied by several young women. When they arrived, they arrested him on suspicion of outraging public decency. The man was released on bail, but following an investigation of the incident and several interviews with witnesses, including children, he was recalled for questioning. He has since been re-released, pending further inquiries. A Tony Hearn spokesman said, "We are awaiting a decision as to whether there will be prosecution." Next story, John. Big Brother in Dallas is turning off red light cameras. Big Brother in Dallas is turning off red light cameras, not because of complaints, but because they work too well. People are no longer running enough red lights to pay for the cameras. Next story, John.
Nice.
God.
Whoops.
God has a conversation with a man who ends up naked on a highway. Authorities said a man charged with exposure of sexual organs was showing a lot more than that on a stretch of US 1 Thursday morning. Callers told 911 dispatchers that David John Campbell, 43, of Fort Pierce, was walking completely naked on northbound US 1 near Kinnerman Road. A deputy caught up with Campbell at 6 a.m. excuse me, and the 6400 block of US 1 and school buses were on the road. Campbell said he was under instructions from Jesus to take a nude stroll. The report said Jesus did not return our comment. Next story, John.
Nice.
This just in. I just got this. This is just in, John.
Just breaking news.
Heather Mills to get around $50 million per leg in divorce settlement from Paul McCartney. Details to follow. Next and last story, John.
Wow.
Kevin Smith lookalike is under investigation and out of the classroom after a comment is under investigation and out of the classroom after a comment he's been accused of making in front of a room full of students. A 13-year-old girl says teacher William Musto made inappropriate comments about her body. She said it happened last Friday at Discovery Intermediate in Ponsakinia, but the girl's mother reported it Thursday. There was a lot of emotion around the intermediate school when a class let out Thursday afternoon. Some students Eyewitness News spoke with said his remarks were blown out of context and they can't believe what is happening to such a good teacher. History teacher William Musto, 44, has been reassigned to a non-teaching duty after a 13-year-old female student alleged he told her in front of the class that she had, quote, nice, perky tits.
Nice.
End quote. The girl's mother told Eyewitness News off camera she was filing a report with the Osceola County Sheriff's Office. And that's the news, John. Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott. You punch me in the face again, I'm going to rip off your head and piss down your neck.
Ow.
Oh.
Oh, all right. I need to get to the emergency room.
Later.
Later. All right, then.
Wow, you're pretty violent, man.
I just had it with that bell ringing. It just really gets to me. I have a tipping point, John, a tipping point.
Yeah, but he's, you know, pretty slow. He had whiffed on him a couple of times.
He was quick when he came in. He was bobbing and weaving.
Yeah.
I got lucky with that first one, kind of dazed him. And then after that, it was easy to connect.
Yeah.
My drink was lovely. And how was your piss?
And your...
All right, that's all the time we have this week at Total Talk Nonsense. I'm not Scott.
And I am not John.
We'll be back next week, right?
That's right, John.
So this has been episode
Hold
one.
Hold on now, John.
All right.
We got practice tomorrow. Yeah. We got practice Thursday, and we have a gig.
Gig.
March 22nd, Saturday, Beacon Tap, This Plains, Easter weekend, John.
Yeah.
That's a big announcement right there. And I have my mediocre hoodie.
Me too.
And I'm going to wear it to the gig.
I got a picture.
This is my marketing. We've been accused of not knowing how to market. Here's my plan, right?
Market everybody else's podcast,
Well,
right?
No. Yeah. So I wear the hoodie out in public, right? And then when somebody in the nation comes by to talk to me about the nation, I say, yeah, that's a fucking great show. But you know what? There's this other show that's even better. It's called Total Talk Nonsense.
Here's my card. Oh, I don't have one.
So steal one listener at a time. That's our marketing strategy.
Nice one.
With the personal touch, John. The personal touch.
Personal touch.
That's right. Stop it.
Stop it, you brute. Stop it. Smell like fish.
Yes.
All right.
Then.
We're out of here.
123.
Say goodbye, John.
Goodbye, John.
Bye, Scott.
Bye.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.